let's give him 10% off. So my boss says, okay, John. So we sold that order for $4.50. God's honest truth. I walked out of that account with a $22,500 order, and I was clicking my heels. John, you are the man. I'm high-fiving myself over here. Took sales from $10,000 to $22,500. I've only been out and selling for 3 months. Man, I am great.
You went the wrong way.
Absolutely.
You should have got more money for it.
So what happened in retrospect? Well, you know, there was still the same amount of material in that thing. There was still the same amount of labor in that thing. There was still me, overhead, my car, my expense account, and all the bull crap and everything, right? What's left over here, Mike? What's left over here is profit. That's exactly correct.
I've done that where I was negotiating with a pretty big customer. And I knew I could get down to a certain level, and the boss was expecting me to get down to that level. And I went in and I sold about 8,000 inserts for about $150 more than what we expected a piece. And I did it on purpose.
Is that right? That's great. I when I look back at this thing, I took the profit dollars.
Buy low, sell high.
From this amount down to that amount. Now, what else could I have done? Rather than be a big shooter and cut the price 10%.
Cost savings.
Pardon me?
Cost savings between the two inserts.
I could have asked the customer some questions. What are you using now? And what's it doing for you? And how much are you paying? Now, what if the customer came back and said, I'm paying $7 a piece for what I'm using now, and I only got one piece with that, and your piece is giving me three. Your insert's giving me three. I could have said to him, geez, Darren, that's great asking me to quote you 5,000 of these things. Can I ask you why? Why do you want to buy 5,000? That's a great order. Can you tell me why? John, the crap we're using is terrible. And your stuff is great. Boy, oh boy. Imagine back in those days if I'd have sold this thing for $7 for crying out loud. Anybody could cut the price down to $4.50.
Now let's imagine, you know, where I live in, right? Okay, well then, where our insert's three times better. Well, what are you paying now? Well, our insert's $15, and we're paying $4. So, what do? We special price it, we get our margin down, and now we're losing our profitability. We're
right.
Gaining market share, but what are we supposed to do? Walk away from the business?
Well, maybe you could sell them some other stuff too. You know, maybe there's other things that you could sell them that's a higher profit.
Well, that's just but what we ask the customer if it's worth three times what he's paying now, since you're three times
how much it costs to use it.
Right, if it's worth $12.
Well, now hold it. I got this next chart here, which I think is helpful. If I can find my notes.
It's what if we're not better. That's what I'm saying. That's what runs in a lot. I'm a little bit better. Then you got this. That's just what I run into every day. That's what's confusing.
Put it in a PCA and see where you can.
So, that's what I do. PCA is coming out of low. Yeah, you know, the next thing you know, that insert is $4 is
yeah, well, that's obviously
that's scary.
That's a scary,
exactly.
Scary thought.
Sometimes you just can't. You know, I don't want to play the devil's advocate. I'm just saying this is some of the realistics that I run.
Yeah, right.
That I'd like to overcome.
Yeah.
I use the PCA. And I use the cost savings, and I go on cost and not price. It's just some of the ones we run into. You know, it's something we run into.
Just
a lot.
All you can do there, Darren. Go ahead.
I ran into a similar situation with one of my customers I've been testing at. We're getting better life. The Kennametal insert we tested against has inconsistent life, and we're getting inconsistent life, but when we last longer, we're always holding up longer than the Kennametal insert did. And he's going, we like the chip control, we like the fact that your insert holds up better, but you're still $2 more expensive than the Kennametal we have. And I'm like, you know, I'm holding up better, and I'm going in there to do extended testing just to try to get a little bit more evened out on it, so we don't have to go in and do a 353 and drop the price and drop everybody's margins and drop it to J&L so J&L can afford to sell it to them for.
Well, yeah. I think we've all been told don't walk away from the sale.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
sure. And yeah. I mean it's.
Yeah, you got to talk that over with your boss. And I don't have all the answers here. And, you know, it's much easier to talk about concepts and principles than it is to apply them. I'm talking about them and presenting them, and you guys actually got to go out there and implement them. And that's not an easy thing to do. But I think there's some benefit in having the principles and concepts and understanding them, and they can be helpful to you, and that's where I'm trying to do.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I use that. Sell something else, go at the other business.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just talking about huge, substantial price differences.
Okay. All right, let's move over now then to page 8, if you would. And relationship selling is not about closing. And, you know, I got an article here that I cut out of a magazine. Take a look at this. This guy's teaching the trial close, the assumptive close, the inducement close, the summary close, all these different closes, yeah? Now, you know, in my view, there's a place for this kind of understanding. But we're not talking about closing a big account with an assumptive close or one of these kinds of manipulative techniques. Not going to happen. And I'll get into, and actually we have information on what these reverse close. The reverse close, just so you know, is where you say to a customer, well, I know you're not going to buy this because it's too expensive for you guys. So